This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Jobless claims keep piling up.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. It is an indicator we watch every week, and it continues to underscore this fallout from the financial crisis. The Labor Department reports that while new jobless claims are relatively unchanged from last week, the figure is still at a 26-year high, and the number of people continuing to claim benefits just hit an all-time high. From North Carolina Public Radio, here's Marketplace's Janet Babin.
More than 600,000 people filed new claims for jobless benefits last week. But what's really staggering are the Labor Department figures on the total number of people receiving unemployment, just under 5 million. That's the number that sticks out for economist Diane Swonk at Mesro Financial in Chicago.
Close to 5 million people, really a disturbing number there, and really underscoring how weak this economy is. We think we're losing somewhere between 20 and 30,000 jobs a day.
Swonk says even when recovery comes, and she says it will, the unemployment numbers will stay high because businesses in recent years have been slow to rehire after recessions. The government also says today wholesale prices rose last month. That can be an indication of rising inflation, but Swonk says it was just a blip. The Federal Reserve expects inflation to remain low this year and for unemployment to hover close to 9%. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
The Dow is up at this hour about 0.5%. NASDAQ up 0.5%. S&P 500 up about 0.75% at this hour. Japan and Hong Kong closed slightly higher, a fraction of a percent each. Europe is mixed at this hour. Most markets there are basically up by less than a percent. Well, some wealthy Americans may be getting a call from the IRS. A major Swiss bank has just agreed to hand the U.S. some details of its American clients. Our European correspondent, Stephen Beard, has more.
Switzerland's biggest bank, UBS, has settled a long-running tax case with the U.S. authorities. The bank admits that it helped wealthy American customers hide their money from the IRS. The bank is paying $780 million in penalties, and reports say the bank will identify 250 Americans with undeclared accounts. Jeff Goldfarb is with the financial website Breaking Views. He says this is a major breakthrough in the battle against tax evasion.
It is sort of a big chunk of 250 names at once. That is substantial in the context of secrecy in Switzerland and banking.
Nevertheless, U.S. tax officials have some way to go. They claim that 17,000 Americans have stashed a total of $20 billion in undeclared accounts at UBS. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
A lot of people are holding off on buying big-ticket items right now. That includes computers and printers, which explains Hewlett-Packard's latest earnings report. The company says its quarterly profit was down 13%. And it's not a good time for retailers, period. Many shops are housed in malls and complexes that are feeling the fallout. In Washington, D.C., the shopping center industry is gathered to look at the future. Ashley Milne-Tight reports.
Shopping centers can't get credit the way they used to. And if a tenant has left and the shopping center can't borrow money, it's a problem. Erin Hershkowitz is spokesperson for the International Council of Shopping Centers.
So when stores close, there's no way of renovating that spot, you know, or changing the composition of it to fit maybe multiple tenants.
Jonathan Plotkin, a partner in real estate developer the Jaffe Companies, believes many more stores will shut this year. And even the ones that are doing okay aren't expanding much as consumers hold back.
That often can mean that retailers who were interested in signing leases in shopping centers, all of a sudden, instead of 50 stores next year, they may be down to 10 stores for next year.
He says many shopping centers are approaching local parks departments, kiddie gymnasiums, and private companies. The message? There's space up for grabs at the mall. I'm Ashley Milne-Tight for Marketplace.
Just as the sun was coming up this morning in California, the state Senate finally approved a budget that's intended to wipe out a $42 billion deficit. And just moments ago, the state assembly followed suit. Senate leaders secured that final vote from a moderate Republican after he demanded election changes, government reform, and the removal of a gas tax increase. The senator also asked that with California in a budget crisis, the state controller not get new office furniture. It's now off to Governor Schwarzenegger for his signature. You're listening to The Morning Report for Thursday, February 19th, 2009 at Marketplace.org. Well, the unemployment rate for aging baby boomers has doubled over the past year. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer reports on the challenges facing older workers.
51-year-old Tom Brunig lost his marketing job in December. He's been networking furiously, but hasn't had a single interview. Now he's starting his own consulting business in Portland, Oregon. Brunig says unemployment is especially tough for boomers. They're used to the go-go 80s. Big hair, big money, lots of jobs.
There may be a feeling of entitlement, which can lead, in this kind of time, to a sense of frustration.
Frustration caused by these statistics. The unemployment rate for workers aged 55 to 64 has gone from 3 to 6% over the past year, according to the Urban Institute. The Institute's Sheila Zedleski says older male boomers have been hit hardest.
The older adults working in construction, manufacturing, the kinds of industries that have been hit the hardest.
Zedleski says college-educated boomers may have trouble finding jobs if their computer skills aren't up to scratch. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
During the great bull market of the last decade, an ocean of hedge fund money poured through Greenwich, Connecticut. Few got a better view of how that money changed the town than people in real estate. Amy Scott took a drive with one agent who profited as the tide of money rose and who's now watching it fall.
Stephen Greenbush picks me up in a black Audi convertible. He's got a Bluetooth headset clamped to his ear. Greenbush works for C.B. Richard Ellis, helping financial firms lease office space. He's been in real estate for 15 years, but when hedge fund money started flowing into Greenwich, he decided to specialize in meeting their needs.
It was very good for my business personally, for the brokerage business, for the construction business, for the office furniture business, for the architectural business and the legal business. It helped everybody. These companies brought big money, they spent big money, they lived big, they ate at big restaurants and had big parties and bought expensive cars. It was good for everyone.
Now everyone in Greenwich is feeling the loss of a lot of that money, particularly anyone involved in real estate. Greenbush drives me by one building recently vacated by a now defunct hedge fund.
So the building went from 100% occupied to 50% occupied. Additional sublease space hits the market.
And that's driving rents down. Just months ago, Greenbush was doing deals for upwards of $130 a square foot. That rivals Manhattan prices. But as hedge funds have lost money and laid off workers, they're unloading commercial space and willing to take less for it.
We can talk about 20 or 30% reductions.
That means lower fees for agents like Greenbush. He's making less money now. But all the fees he collected doing hedge fund deals paid for the house he built a few years ago. And he knows almost anywhere else in the world he'd be considered quite well off.
Here's the thing with these hedge funds. You become so jaded. You think if you make six figures for a living, you're poor. You think if you don't live in a 5,000-square-foot house, you're not successful. It's a different world, Greenwich.
It's a place Greenbush thinks will always attract business, partly for its proximity to New York. And he's already seeing some startups sniffing around the empty space. He's seen these cycles before. 10 years ago, Greenbush specialized in office space for dot-coms. In Greenwich, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
President Obama today makes the first foreign trip of his administration. He's off to Canada, America's biggest trading partner, to meet with Prime Minister Stephen Harper. Let's bring in economics correspondent Chris Farrell. Chris, there are a lot of critics saying the United States is turning its back on free trade. Do they have a valid argument?
You know, I have to tell you, Steve, a little bit of my reaction, my sense of this is the op-ed pages and the airwaves are sort of full of this sound. Protectionists are coming. Protectionists are coming. And it's going to be the 1930s all over again. And it reminds me of this movie. The Russians are coming. The Russians are coming.
The Russians have landed.
This whole danged island's under attack by Russians.
1966, height of the Cold War, and a Russian sub ends up in a New England village. And you can imagine there's all kinds of misunderstandings and fear.
I'll tell you what we do. We shoot them. That's what we do.
Of course, you know, the bottom line message is that everyone, in the end, got to know each other.
For God's sake, why is it we can't learn to live together?
You're right, Norman.
And they got along. Well, you know, it's good to be saying we don't like protectionism, but, you know, there's a lot of exaggeration going on here, and it kind of troubles me.
But in this debate, this free trade debate, there are losers. What do we say to the losers, the people who lose their jobs in free trade?
Well, what I want to do is economists, you want to write about free trade and against protectionism? Here's the deal. You get to write a paragraph that says, you know what, free trade is good. But the rest of the article has to be filled with, what do you do for the losers? What do you do for the worker that is out of a job? And by the way, a lot of workers are out of jobs. So let's devote our brain power toward the people who are suffering from free trade. Because you know what? Take a look at this Buy American provision in the fiscal stimulus package. It's got so many loopholes, it makes Swiss cheese look like a hyperbole. I mean, come on. Americans embrace freer trade. We basically do. Congress basically embraces free trade. The president basically embraces free trade. Stop writing about protectionism and start writing about how do you get people back to work.
Economics correspondent Chris Farrell joining us. Chris, thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Share your thoughts with us at marketplace.org. Latest on the numbers, the Dow is up 0.5%, NASDAQ and S&P up 0.2% at this hour. And the numbers at our website as well. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.